Well, hello, everyone. How's it going? This is Julie Hamilton, and I am standing in for Doris. We're going to miss Doris today. She's not able to be here, but we are so excited that you're gathering with us today. We have an awesome group of ladies sitting right in front of us, and you're going to love hearing from them today and the project that they're working on in our community. And we want you to be able to support this and to be in touch with this and to find out what's going on. So let's introduce our amazing ladies. So first of all, tell me about, you know, who you are. Are you married? Doris loves to know if you have pets. So we're going to find out if you have pets. So first, we're going to talk to Heather Tabor. How are you, Heather?
I'm great.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. So you are the event director for this event. Tell us who you are and what you do in it.
Sure. I'm the event director for a project called Feed the Need. I am a mom of four kids.
Four? Wow. Okay, awesome.
10 all the way down to four. And, I have just become more involved with their school as now that all of them are in school. We've got a dog, and I have a husband who's wonderful.
A dog and husband. Do you think how she put the dog first?
Well, the dog actually is like a child.
Yes.
She's the dog that never grows up. And so, yeah, and so we've just recently moved around the corner, and so we're getting our new life set up. But we've been here in Napa for about 4 years. And all of my children attend Veritas Christian Academy.
Okay.
And we've really settled into our school community and our community here in Napa.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know if Doris is listening to this show, she's going to want to know, what kind of dog do you have?
We have a 3-year-old Wheaton Terrier.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
And she's great. She's 3 going on 1.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
And what's her name?
Her name is Millie.
Millie. Yeah. Okay. You'll have to show me a picture later.
Okay.
But she's so cute. What color is she?
She's kind of a creamy color.
Oh,
yeah.
How cute.
Yeah, she's a sweet dog.
Okay.
Kind of medium size, so it's good.
Medium size. It's good with the kids,
right.
You know. Okay, how about Danielle.
Danielle Ellis.
I'm Danielle Ellis, and I am the superintendent for Veritas Christian Academy. I'm married. We have 2 children, a 12-year-old and an almost 9-year-old daughter and son.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They both go to the school. And we have a hamster, a cat, and a kitten. So we have three.
Yours sounds like mine.
The kitten, yes, she keeps us on our toes. And she loves to harass the older cat.
So. Oh, she does? How does the older cat handle it?
Holds her down.
Oh, my goodness.
She'll hold her down and clean her.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, that's funny. She's like teaching her a lesson, like, you know who's in charge here, right?
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Authority. Okay,
exactly.
So Katie Perez, the wonderful Katie Perez, wearing the 49ers shirt. She is a 49ers faithful. What did you think about yesterday? Did you watch the game?
I did. Tough fourth quarter to watch.
Oh, really? I know it was. But you know what? I mean, I loved that it was like a good matchup. If you saw the yards as they were playing, and they were like, I guess at one point they had ran like 153 and 155. And it was like, I mean, okay, isn't that better than like a blowout where it's like 40-0? I mean, at least they both played really well, you know.
Until that fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was tough.
That was last tough.
2 minutes. Oh, man, that was tough. What do you do? And tell us about yourself.
All right. I am Danielle's administrative assistant, and I am the communications captain for the Feed the Need project that we're doing. I have 3 children. I have a 5.5-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1.5-year-old.
What?
The big 2 go to Veritas Christian Academy. One's in kindergarten and one's in preschool. And the little one is going to start in August.
Oh, starting kindergarten.
She's starting in preschool.
Oh, she's
I'm not emotional at all.
Yeah, what are you going to do? That's weird, right? When your baby goes to preschool and you're like, what's going on?
Just cry all day.
I'm like sitting here thinking, so you have 4 kids in what, 7 years, 8 years, 6 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So Heather has 4 kids in 6 years. You have 3 kids in 4 years. Oh my goodness. My kids are 7 years apart. I could never even imagine that. I'm
like, that way they're out of diapers faster.
Yeah, there's two approaches.
Just
yeah.
Boom, we're done.
There you go. Well, we're so excited to have you here today, and we wanted to get to know you and hear about what you're doing. But first, I have a question for you. I want to know, so our guests and listeners can hear from you, what is your biggest kitchen fail? I mean, like, you totally bombed it and you wished you hadn't. What's your biggest kitchen fail?
Well, mine was a combination between myself and my husband. It was a failure on both of our parts. Uh-oh. So I was still in school. We'd only been married for about a year and a half. And I had dinner on the stove and I was headed off to class, and I gave him specific instructions. And he was working late hours, and he had fallen asleep on the couch. And the forgot to turn off the stove. And so when I came home, he was asleep and everything was burnt. And we had to just throw that entire pot away. There was no salvaging anything.
That was
a learning experience for both of us. So I do all the cooking now.
We don't leave him in charge of anything.
Right. No, he's very capable.
Oh, I'm sure.
After 25 years, he's learned a lot.
Hey, that's when you learn.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I have several kitchen fails. probably my biggest dates back during the dating phase with my husband. Because now it seems like I have a lot of Instant Pot fails for those Instant Pot people out there.
Okay,
I love it and I hate it all at the same time.
Oh, shoot.
But back in the day, I think it was the very first meal that I prepared for my now husband, who I was dating at the time. So I was a little bit nervous, but I thought I would be fancy and make shrimp.
Oh.
And so I cooked those shrimp because I did not want them to be raw. And so by the time I prepared and served them on the plate, they were like little salty rubber nuggets, almost like chewing on an eraser.
Yes.
And he sat there and he ate those and he told me they were so wonderful.
Oh my God.
And then afterwards we laughed because I didn't want to try it. I just presented it and he ate it and loved it. And then afterwards I tried it and I could barely swallow it down.
Oh.
And so it's been kind of a funny thing ever since.
You're like, please don't let her make the shrimp.
Well, now I have a whole crew of people that if they don't like it, they tell me right away.
Right,
they're all 10 and under.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. So. Oh, that's precious. How about you?
So mine actually is recent. Hooray. I, this year for Thanksgiving, did the turkey. And everything was great. I gave that turkey the biggest butter massage, and that thing was seasoned to perfection, in the oven, ready to go. And we used a foil pan. And so when we were trying to retrieve the bird from the stove, it was a 20-pound bird in a foil pan, so it was gonna be a little too hard to kind of maneuver it out on just the foil pan. So we tried to get a sturdier pan underneath it, and we spilled juice all over the heating element, and we had 2-foot flames inside the oven.
Shoot.
And thankfully we had some leftover N95 masks because, you know, we've all been dealing with these recent wildfires. So we had to cook the rest of dinner wearing N95 masks because of how smoky the kitchen was.
Well, you had a wildfire in your house.
Yes, in my parents' house.
Oh, my gosh.
And we found out through that incident that all of their smoke detectors work perfectly.
Excellent.
Oh, it was a test.
Great. Okay, the question is, did you take pictures with, like, the mask on?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah,
oh,
this is going to be memories for future.
Fabulous photo.
I mean, your kids will never stop talking about this, probably, you know, naturally. Well, actually, they're little.
They're
maybe
little,
if
so
they were
remember.
Teenagers, they will harass you about it forever. Let's see. Oh, she has a picture and all four of the family members.
Nice.
They're all wearing masks in the kitchen.
It was that or don't breathe.
I wish I would have had one of those when I did my kitchen fail. I was first married. I thought, I'm going to cook this great dinner for my husband, same as you.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to make this happen. And so the recipe said to put in 4 cloves of garlic. Well, I hadn't been cooking that much. And So I thought the clove was the whole thing, right? So I took like an hour, like peeling every little piece of four heads of garlic. And so I cooked them. And when my husband came home, he looked at me and his eyes started watering. He's like, what? What happened? The whole house smelled like garlic. I had put four heads of garlic on a prime rib instead of four, or not prime rib, but tri-tip, but instead of four cloves of garlic.
I mean, I usually triple or quadruple the requested garlic in the recipe. So I'm not one to talk to.
Okay, well, it's good, but there is a limit.
There is a limit, yes, definitely.
But is there? Definitely. Well, you guys are here to talk about something really special, and I'm so excited to talk about this because I think it's really cool. You know, we see all kinds of fundraisers for schools. Maybe they're selling candy bars. Maybe they're selling magazines, cookie dough. I mean, I bought all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, when they come to your door, it's like, oh, my gosh, I have to buy something. But I love that you guys are doing something entirely totally different than this. So tell me what you're doing.
Sure. I have to admit, as a mom of four, I see a lot of fundraisers cross my table. The kids bring stuff home, they pull it out of the backpack, and I just kind of pause, sometimes cringe a little, because you do. People with kids, you get hit all the time. And so when this one came along, I said, okay, let me take a look at it. And once I started to dig into it and learn a little bit more, I got really interested. Okay. And now I'm in charge of the team that's running it, and it's been a really unique experience and an amazing experience. And the project is called Feed the Need, and it is a service-based mission project. So what that basically means is, kind of like you alluded, it's not selling candy bars or popcorn or cookie dough. Because what happens with those fundraisers is the children sell the product, and then a portion of the funds goes to paying for that product,
yes,
the wrapping paper, whatever the material is, and then a percentage goes to the school. What makes this project different is that, yes, a portion of the product project goes to an outside group, and a portion goes to our school. But that outside group basically takes those funds, and we purchase meals, food, and ship them to a third world country. And in our case, it's Haiti.
Oh, okay.
So the other element to this project is that the students do everything.
Wow.
So we have been working on this project since October, and we have a great team of parents involved. But the student element is what makes it special as well. And that is on February 21st, Friday, February 21st, over at our North Campus at Veritas, at Grace Church, in their gym, we will be packing, sealing, and shipping 10,000 meals to children in Haiti. And these children, as you can imagine, live in pretty desperate situations. They're orphans. And so our students get to have that hands-on touch. And so it starts at 8:30 in the morning. Our kids will all get shipped over there. We have a very organized packing and sealing setup for all the kids. And so the children, young and the older kids, our middle schoolers, will work together. So we'll partner maybe an eighth grader with a second grader, and they'll be at one station. And the kids put the food in, they put seal the bags, they do everything. The food comes from General Mills. It's all nutritionally prepared.
I was wondering, okay.
Yeah, because there are other countries involved throughout the year, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But these meals are specifically prepared for the Haitian diet.
Oh,
so you and I probably
perfect.
Wouldn't like to eat it, but it's a lot of soy, rice, lentils, things like that. And so the students will be in an assembly line preparing each aspect of the food till it's sealed and then put into the box. And even the young kids, they get to decorate the boxes and they get to play a part in it. And so after we pack everything up, the school, we praise over the boxes, and we make sure that these boxes have been blessed and are prepared to be received over in Haiti, where a pastoral team there will receive it and distribute it specifically to orphanages right there locally. So it covers all aspects, brings a mission type of experience to our students, because let's face it, not a lot of these kids will have an opportunity to go and see some of these countries, but they get a taste of what that's like. And then on the flip side, the group overseas, they get to take those meals and give them, and our kids have had a touch on it. They learn the acts of selflessness. They learn that it's bigger than them.
Yeah.
And that's what this project is about. Yes, it's a fundraiser. Yes, we're trying to raise funds for our school, mm-hmm. but we're also trying to play a part in something much bigger than just raising funds, and that is providing meals for these kids.
Well, and I think it's fascinating that, you know, two things can be true at once. Mm-hmm. And so it can be true that can also help your school, and it can also be true that can help somebody else. And I love that you guys are bringing all those aspects into this project, you know, and I had a lot of questions, and most of them you answered, actually, you know, like, where's the food coming from? I mean, what does 10,000 meals look like? Have you imagined that yet, Danielle?
It's amazing, and it how it will reach our kids along with the kids in Haiti. The main reason why we chose this particular fundraiser is to hit that discipleship, the mission part of our mission as a school.
Perfect.
And so we wanted something that was hands-on, that was visual, because none of us really can fathom what this is going to look like until we get there on the 21st. And so we're really excited about it. I mean, we've seen pictures, but we've tried to expose the kids at the age levels that are appropriate to what the kids over in Haiti have.
Wow.
And, so we do that through chapel. Mm-hmm. We've been doing a lot of conversations and talk about why we chose this particular fundraiser, because one of the things that we've recognized as a school is, in order to really be able to combat entitlement, is we have to get them out of their element.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay, if Doris was here, she would give you an applause. Hold on. I'm going to put my come on, preach about that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we know, especially with the generation today, is our kids don't have hands-on service experience.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of wants. It's a, you know, we don't even, in America, especially in Napa, we don't lack need. I mean, we don't need anything.
Right.
And so we have it. We can walk to the store. We can drive to the store. We can, you know, get what we need. And so I know, speaking for my family, my husband and I really have to look for things to be able to expose our kids to, so that they can see that they are very blessed,
focusing
on, you know, what's the next iPad game we're going to get, or, you know, whatever. And so that is really the reason why we chose this particular project. We didn't want another door-to-door sales,
right?
Yes. We want another, you know, candy sale and things like that. We wanted something for the kids to be able to experience and be able to think outside of themselves.
Well, I think one thing that really impacts me about what you're saying that I've been working through with my own children, so they're 19 and 12 girls, 19 and 13, I'm sorry, she turned 13 last week. She is a teenager. So, sorry, Livy. But, you know, is when we had our Veterans Day show, one of the veterans, David Grega, was discussing how he grew up and he went to a private school and he, you know, all his needs were met and this and that and the other. And it was great. And he thought, wow, I have a great life and a good family. I mean, a lot of blessings. But when he went to the military and he saw the way that other people lived and the challenges that other people had had to face and overcome, that he realized he was at a huge disadvantage because he hadn't developed that strategy to deal with hardship or suffering or battling or weariness or not getting the food or whatever. And, you know, that show just impacted me so much because that's exactly what, you know, I don't want my kid to be in an advantage because they've gotten everything they wanted.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so I love that you're doing this and exposing. Have you guys been on a missions trip before, either one of you? And tell me where you went.
I've been to Fiji and Zimbabwe.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And as a child growing up, again, we grew up in a home that didn't lack from need for need. And so my parents, we would go every spring, we would go down to Mexico and do a missions project with a church down in Mexico.
Yeah,
and that was a huge eye opener for us.
Yeah, I wanted to ask how that impacted you, and I'll, because I've been to Africa a couple of times as well, and it just, it sort of wrecks you, but tell me how your trips impacted you and your worldview.
So Fiji was physically very difficult. Okay. We were in a very remote island that once we landed in Fiji, it still took us an additional 24 hours to get to the location that we went to. Whoa. We were very far in the north of Fiji. Wow. And so physically difficult, sleeping on mats, getting eaten alive by bugs, no running water, no electricity. So physically it was hard. But Zimbabwe just emotionally ruined me. Mm. We were in physically, we were pretty comfortable. We were staying with a missionary and his family, and they have bunks that they have designed for incoming missionaries to stay at. And so we were living relatively comfortably. But seeing children who are, you know, sharing a toothbrush between their orphanage, and they don't know if they're going to be fed, because when Mugabe was president, he didn't recognize that there was an orphan crisis, or, you know, just the blindness of the government to the children who are suffering. And that was just an emotionally wrecking experience.
Wow. How about you, Danielle? How was your experience?
We did five different trips, starting in eighth grade through 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And we went to orphanages. We went to areas that we were building homes for. And when I went down, now mind you, I started at 14. And so I went with this idea of, you know, I was very into my look and very much a teenage girl.
Yes.
And so I don't know if any of you remember, but they used to sell these curling irons called clickers. Okay, where it was a propane curling iron.
Yes. Okay? Oh my gosh. Oh, I forgot
and
about
so,
those.
Yes. So my hair was very important, and I'm going down where we're going to be sleeping in tents, and, you know, the whole thing. And so I'm thinking I need this curling iron to be able to still look like I normally do.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, that took me about 5 hours to realize that wasn't going to happen once we got down there, because we were staying in tents. There was no running water. In order to take a shower, we had to team up from the water that was trucked in once a week. And so by the end of the week, there was nasty things in the water. And it was very humbling. And when I came home, that first trip being in middle school, I remember it changed every part of how I viewed life.
Yeah.
And it, as an eighth grader, I just remember it it really being that life-changing moment of going into high school, of, you know, the things that we are challenged with in America as high schoolers, at least whatever 30 years ago when I was in high school. I wasn't thinking about those things anymore.
Yeah.
And I began looking forward to going back and being able to reset my expectations of life each year.
Yeah.
And just having those experiences when I was a junior and we went to an orphanage, and it took everything I had not to bring every child home.
Of course, for sure.
And having that heart for kids be part of me when I was really young, I knew I would be working with children somehow.
Wow.
And it gets you out of your comfort zone, for sure. It completely changes your worldview. And it allows you to see much bigger than yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
So true. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I do want to acknowledge that some of the places we're talking about have incredible beauty, incredible bounty.
Yes,
I'm thinking about Zimbabwe, the breadbasket of Africa, you know, I mean, amazing places, but they also have need. And so, you know, for us, we've been to Uganda a couple of times, which is a great place, but there was also need. And it wrecked me, you know, because I had a 3-year-old at home in preschool who has a room full of books and just, you know, this beautiful, amazing life. And then the kids I was working with were you know, 3 years old playing with their play toys were shards of glass on the street, you know. And so it just, I remember when I came home and we would go to a restaurant and I'd be like, I could feed three kids for 3 months with what we just spent at this restaurant, right. You know. It just, it was a complete paradigm where you have to like almost break open your heart mm-hmm. to make it bigger. And mm-hmm. so just that paradigm shift for me was very difficult, like emotionally challenging, but so necessary to see that the world is not just what we have right here. You know, right. there's a whole big world out there. And I love that you're doing that for your kids to teach them. And so I wanted to ask you, Katie, how do you guys envision these meals being distributed? I know you said they're going to go to local resources. Tell me about that. What are you thinking?
Well, that's one of the most important things when you are, when you're sending aid to a country that has government corruption. You have to guarantee that sending money is not going to get to the people you right. want it to get to.
That's true.
So that's another reason why, as Danielle said, that we picked this organization specifically because they have partners in place on the ground in okay. Haiti who are ensuring that this is getting where it's supposed to be. It's getting where the need is. So that is one of the biggest most important reasons for choosing an organization that is established and has people on the ground who are in the orphanages and making sure that it's getting to the kids who need it.
Yeah. So are they envisioning feeding like 10,000 kids once or like 3,000 kids three times, or how is that working?
Each of the bags is 6 meals when reconstituted with
okay.
water.
Oh, so add water. Okay.
Yes.
So it's
so
dried.
They're dried,
that.
They're vacuum sealed at, gotcha. With us. And then the boxes are shipped, via freight. And so, when the bag is broken open and boiling water is added, that's 6 meals. So you're able to, these 10,000 bags become multiplied.
Wow.
So
60,000 meals.
Right.
Wow. Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So you can feed multiple children at the orphanage mm-hmm. at one time with these bags.
Right. Oh, wow. I love that. So that's amazing. I love that these partnerships are existing between like General Mills and then the people who are doing it and then the orphanages or whatever ministries or whatever down there that are distributing it. That's amazing. So we're here today, guys, and we're here with a project called Feed the Need that's going on in Napa right now that you can help with. We're here with Heather Tabor. She's the event director for Feed the Need. Danielle Ellis, who is the school superintendent at Veritas Christian Academy, and Katie Perez, who's the communication captain for this project. So, okay, I do want to ask you about Veritas, but I really want to hear from you after that. I want to hear how we can get involved, how people can get involved, and what you're hoping to accomplish through this project. So, all right. So, Heather, tell me about Veritas. Why do your kids go to school there, and what is it? You know, some people are like, I never heard of it, but they actually have. They just don't know.
They just don't know. That's right. Well, Veritas Christian Academy, formerly known as First Christian School.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful, small community of parents and educators that really have a love and a passion for your child. And so I have a fifth grader, a third grader, a first grader, and a preschooler there. And I can say that at all times, for the most part, I know what's going on with my child's education. And that is because I have a wonderful, and a lot, like most of the families there, were able to have a wonderful connection with the teaching staff. Now, granted, with some of my children, it's not always the best news. Some, it's great. It just depends on the day. But that is a really important thing for our family, is to have a pulse on what's going on with your child, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And also that our children are receiving a really wonderful Christian education, and that upholds our family values. The school's values are right in line with that. It's all about selflessness and being safe, being responsible, and respectful for each other, because we all come from different families and different situations.
Yeah, totally.
And our school really embodies all of those things.
I love that. So Danielle, you're the superintendent of the school.
Yes.
Tell me how you got there and why this school is special.
Well, I have been with the school since 1998 when we opened. I actually was hired as the preschool director.
Okay.
And For the first 10 years, I was the preschool director, and then I came on as the interim principal. And then after about 5 years, I finished my master's degree and stayed on as the principal. And just recently, when we were blessed by, we started as First Christian School, and the pastor, the lead pastor, and I had been praying for several years about when it was time to branch off into our own entity, and feeling like the beginning of our 20th year was that time.
Oh, and 20 so years? 20 you guys years, have been around 20
yes,
years?
Actually,
I did not know that.
This is our 21st year.
Oh my gosh,
this is our second year as Veritas and our 21st year as a school.
Oh,
and
that's great.
When we became two campuses, we hired school directors, and because I'm overseeing both campuses, I came on, the board changed my title as to superintendent.
Yeah, so tell us why there's two campuses.
There's two campuses. Because we have we've partnered with Grace Church for our middle school campus, and it is a beautiful campus that fills and our needs for middle school. We have a beautiful gym and classrooms, and we were able to we'd outgrown the campus that we were all at for First Christian, and so we've maintained that campus and partnered with First Christian Church for our preschool and our elementary school. So we're 2 years old through fifth grade on that campus, and then middle school, sixth, seventh, and eighth on the Grace campus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has been, it's been an amazing ride.
Oh, that's so fun.
And I was in administration there for 17 years before I became a parent there.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's been an interesting right, seeing the other side of things, not just as administration, but as a parent as well, and with Heather.
Sure.
Our boys are in the same class, so we commiserate together. and then, you know, our girls are on task, and they're doing great. And, and Katie has a son also, so she'll find out soon.
Oh, I've already found out.
Exactly.
It's always the staff children that find a way to use the restroom on the playground.
Yes,
and
exactly.
My son has initiated me into that.
Oh, yes.
It's like, well, we're outside. It might as well,
obviously.
You know?
You can always tell the boys who were potty trained
outdoors. Like feral animals.
That's right.
Yes. I have girls, so this is not a conversation I get to have. You know,
it's a cool thing when you're a boy.
I imagine that'd be really cool. Actually,
when you gotta go, you gotta go. And right
fact,
here is the time.
Yes, my preschool director took great pride in coming and sharing with me that my son decided to go to the bathroom off the slide, because when her youngest was in preschool, he did the same thing.
Oh, he's like, we're making it rain.
Exactly.
Just coming full circle.
Oh, yes.
Full circle.
So that's, yeah, it's very humbling. And I realized the first year that every bit of advice I'd ever given a parent was wrong.
Oh, shoot.
After I had become a parent.
No.
Because applying it in education at a school is very different than applying it at home.
Yes.
And so it has definitely humbled me.
Yes. Oh my gosh. For sure.
But I have, you know, I have learned a lot over the years, and learned a lot from a lot of people who've gone ahead of me, and it is, our school is very unique. It's very different. We are a smaller school.
How many students do you have?
We have just under 200 total, preschool through eighth grade.
Yeah, okay.
And our classroom sizes, we go up to 18 in the elementary and up to 24 in the middle school. And with those smaller class sizes, we can really provide that one-on-one for the kids. And so we recognize that we all have gifts, and we all have we all have things that we struggle with.
Yeah.
And so because of those, we can identify that and we can help each other through. We can encourage one another with our giftings, and we can encourage one another with our weaknesses.
Yeah.
And it's okay that we're not all the same.
I love
because
that.
Because how boring would this world be if we were all the same?
Oh my gosh, for sure. Well, so. Katie, tell us what is different? Because I'm thinking of some of the other schools in the area that are also private schools, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of like Napa Christian, I'm thinking of Trinity Prep and Justin Siena, although that's high school, but and then a number of other schools, St. A's. I'm just thinking of all the private schools around. So tell us what is different from all of those about Veritas.
Well, what I have experienced at Veritas has been this sense of family. Mm. And we do these events every first Wednesday called Welcome Wednesdays, where we invite families who are interested, prospective families, and we invite them to come to chapel. We do family chapel on that first Wednesday. We invite them to see the classrooms in action, meet the teachers, ask questions, nice. See the students interacting, and bring their kids so that their kids can experience that for themselves. And kind of that recurring theme that we hear again and again is family.
Nice.
And that is something that that you just can't replace, especially for these formative years. I mean, our kids are growing up. Mm-hmm. Heather and I both have little ones that they feel more at home
right.
at the school
right.
because they're there all the time.
Right.
And they, you know, they own the place. They walk in the lobby and they're like, well, here I am at home, bossing everybody around in the lobby. And that like, and everybody is looking out for them.
Right.
Like we have this little, you know, the cluster of morning parents that are hanging out and they're like, hey, do you know where your child is? And I'm like, well, I thought you knew where she was. And they're, you know, everybody is looking out for each other, reaching out. We've got, you know, I have my little kindergarten parent text message group that we message each other on.
Oh, that's cool.
And I just love that sense of family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think too, prior to having kids, I always thought, oh, private school. We wouldn't send our kids to private school. They'll go to public school, and public school is wonderful. I went to public school, and I loved it. But I think what's different about Veritas is it's private, but it's not what people think.
Mm-hmm.
It's as down-to-earth as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You walk into the lobby, you don't know anybody. By the time you leave, you've got a new group of friends. I mean, it really is new families that come in. They get embraced. I was a new family 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very pregnant. My husband was working all the time. I towed these three kids in there. And I was welcomed like I've never been welcomed before.
Aww, that's
which
great.
Is probably why I'm so involved now, because I want other new families to feel the love and warmth that
yeah,
I received.
Yeah.
And from the staff, yes, but from other families who didn't have to do that. And so that's special. That's not every school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's something that I would love people to know and experience, is that there is a warmth about this school that is very hard to duplicate.
And it just feels like a safety net
mm-hmm.
for
yes.
our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've had parents and families go on surgery or have new babies and all these things. And right on that parent Facebook page, you better believe it. Everybody's
Aww.
Okay. How can we help? What are we
That's
doing?
Great.
How are we? What are we taking?
There's
and
a meal
I just
train
love that.
Set up. I mean,
so,
yeah, it's they pour their love into
Aww.
Each family.
Well, raising children in life is difficult.
Yes.
And when
yes.
you have a support system around you, not just for your children but for yourself, you do life together and you support one another,
totally.
And then that translates down to
mm-hmm.
the kids
mm-hmm.
because we've found our network too.
Yes.
Right.
It's not just for our children.
Yeah. I was mm-hmm. talking to a mom last night who is a single mom mm-hmm. and she had had her child in a school that she didn't want them to leave the school, but she had to pay for it. And when she got a divorce, and so, you know, she's a single mom who works nights so that her kid can go to school at the same school, because she realized what a support network her child had there, and
right.
she didn't want to remove her from that. And I just thought, wow, that is dedication, and you know, she said, I get so much help from the school. It was just really beautiful. Yeah. But okay, tell us where we are in terms of where we stand with the project.
Well, Feed the Need, we're rounding the bend to week three, and we're on a countdown, so we have three more weeks until our big packing party. So we're kind of in prep with that. Our families are fundraising and doing all the wonderful things. We have special events throughout the week for the students. So we have a balloon wall that we present every Wednesday. So if a family has raised a certain amount, then they get to pop a balloon. And these are not silly prizes. These are actually really awesome prizes.
Oh, wow.
We've got Disney gift cards and Amazon gift cards and all kinds of stuff. So we're trying to incentivize the families to raise these funds because they, like I said, they're going to the school for basically what we're trying to do from the school perspective is we really want to open the doors for Christian education to some families that may not consider it because of the price.
Okay.
And so that's something that we just want people to know that we're here and we're trying to keep tuition affordable and so that we can expose more kids to the school and to Christian education. And then the other portion will go towards our meals for Haiti. And so with that said, we have a big goal that we're trying to reach. And so the families have been doing great. We have some great corporate sponsors. And our goal is $60,000.
Okay.
Which when I saw that number, I kind of took a little breath because it's big. But if you don't set a big goal, then how do you know if you can reach it, you know? So we have the platform that Feed the Need is built on is really great and easy, which is a nice thing when you're trying to raise funds. The platform is basically via text. And so each family has a unique ID. So for example, my family ID is Veritas 4, and every family has their own. And so a family member who's fundraising can basically say you text your family ID to 71777. And what spits back is a link to their fundraising page. You can click donate. So we make it really easy.
Okay, so text.
Yeah,
okay.
And the best part is we're really trying to encourage the kids that are able to do so, or if they're a little bit older, like my 10-year-old. I said, if you want to ask so-and-so for a donation, then you can. And so she'll get on there and say, hi, Uncle so-and-so. And I said, you need to explain what this is about.
Yeah.
And so they've had to learn in depth what the project is about, not just can you donate?
Yeah.
And so it's been great from that perspective, too, that they need to learn that if they want to ask, then they need to have the information in front of them and be prepared to answer questions.
Yes, of course. And so I know I'm going to ask you this real quickly, but what is the $60,000 going for? Tell me.
The $60,000 is going directly into our general budget to help keep our tuition costs down.
Okay.
And so, and like Heather said, to be able to open up funding for those families who can't afford.
For scholarships?
For scholarship.
Okay.
Financial aid, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so, as a Christian school, just like any other private school, tuition doesn't cover 100% of the budget.
Oh, okay.
And so if we charged what it cost to cover 100% of the budget, nobody could afford it.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
and
okay.
So we have to fundraise. And so looking at how to fundraise and give back at the same time and reach our children for what our mission is.
Yeah.
Is why we're doing this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Katie, tell us, what are all the ways somebody could get involved?
So we have opportunities for just general donations. And to do a general donation, you would text the word Veritas, Veritas, to the number 71777. And then that will send you a link to your phone that you can click on and click make a donation. Super easy. Takes about 35, 40 seconds total to make a donation.
So what about people that don't text? I'm thinking like if you have some older members of your family, how could they donate?
Yeah. So we have on our website under
the
tab for giving. Our website is www.veritasnapa.org. And there's a tab for giving. When you click on that tab, there's a page for the Feed the Need fundraiser, and there's a link from that page.
Okay, awesome. So if you text, you're going to say, text Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, to 71777, or you can go on their website, which is Veritas, meaning truth, right? Veritas
yes,
means truth.
Correct,
okay,
yes.
So V-E-R-I-T-A-S, Napa. VeritasNapa.org, and you're going to click on giving, and then you're going to click on feed the need. Feed the need, everybody. Share it with your friends and your neighbors. Did you have something else to share?
Yes, we also have an opportunity for matching donations. We would love for corporate sponsors or individuals to come alongside and truly motivate our families. Matching donations are a great way for people to kind of feel that incentive to get on it fast. If we have a matching donation offer of, you know, say we have 24 hours to raise $7,000.
Yeah.
Boom. Here's your gift, but you guys have to
wow,
get
right.
moving.
Yeah.
That's when families are like, okay, let's get a
yeah.
move on.
Yeah.
So we would love any corporate sponsors, individuals who would like to come alongside us as matching donors. Please contact us. Our email address is vcagives@gmail.com.
Okay, yeah, so I was going to ask if you want to be a corporate sponsor, because a lot of business owners listening out there today, that's how they would become a corporate sponsor.
Absolutely.
Is vcagives@gmail.com. All right, you guys heard it, so I want you to reach out and give your best, because this is a great project. So 10,000 people, you said 60,000 people, possibly the potential kids are going to get fed that don't have, they're under-resourced kids. Mm-hmm. They're going to need this food, and it's going to change their lives. So, all right, time for our closing thoughts. Give us your closing thoughts. I'll start here with Heather so I can let Katie think of her closing thoughts.
Okay, closing thoughts. I guess for those listening, to just take a minute to consider the impact of this project, the impact on our kids locally, teaching children from preschool all the way up to middle school, which can be difficult years, that it's not necessarily always about them. It's much bigger than that.
That's good, teaching yeah.
Teaching selflessness, teaching them the acts of service, kindness. Even packing meals, working with older,
yeah,
you know, things
totally.
Like that. There's all these lessons that are embedded into this program. And then the flip side, that allowing the gift of food, something so simple that we take for granted, to bless these children that, like we were talking about, share toothbrushes and have HIV and things that we can't even wrap our head around, that we are able to bless them with the simple gift of a meal. And so for those listening, I just love them to take a look on our website. It has some more information about what the project is about. I have a list of specific orphanages. I mean, we know it's not just getting dumped off somewhere and we hope that it gets there. We know exactly where it's going.
Wow.
There are specific teams that will be waiting for this food. It's very, very intentional. And I think that's what makes this project really special, is that there is someone's finger on the pulse of every aspect of mm-hmm. this program.
Perfect.
So
I love
that. Feed the need.
I love it. How about you, Danielle?
And I would just like to challenge everyone, whether it is for Feed the Need or finding more about Veritas, stop by. Mm-hmm. Stop by either one of our campuses, and I will make myself available. We even love to have a cup of coffee with you and talk with you more about Feed the Need and or about our school. I know that, I know I'm biased, but we have a pretty special thing going on, and it's hard to see that without experiencing it.
Sure, sure, yeah. Katie?
I just kind of wanted to echo what Heather said about that, that impact. And specifically, I'm thinking about my four-year-old. My four-year-old son has really taken it upon himself to learn what we're doing.
Aww.
With Feed the Need. And when we've been sending out little individual videos, we'll just do like a little 30-second video.
Yeah.
And he's like, hello, this is me. And he, you know, hi, Auntie Sarah. Da, da, da. And he's like, we're doing Feed the Need. Feed the Need means. And he just, and he explains it in his little four-year-old heart. And he just is so excited. And he'll come to me, Mommy, are we doing Feed the Need videos tonight?
Oh.
And I just, you can't. you just can't underestimate what that long-term value is.
Yes, for
kids to learn that the world is bigger than themselves and that they need to be looking to others, because when you're four, your whole world is about you and what you
want.
And so I'm just really embracing this opportunity to experience this with my kids and to be able to feed the need in Haiti, and just really excited about that opportunity.
Wow. Right.
And for anyone that is interested or curious about Veritas, we have, Katie and Danielle have this wonderful program called Welcome Wednesday. And we actually have one this Wednesday, the 5th. And it's a great time. You come in, you grab a cup of coffee. You learn about the preschool program, the elementary program, and the middle school program. You get to talk to teachers. You get a tour. And it's just a great overview of our school. Whether you're considering the school or have not, just stop by and check it out. It's sometimes people need a little push to do things, and we've got these great Welcome Wednesdays set up, and they're just wonderful overviews of the school.
And you also get to hear from current parents, which is just such an exciting opportunity. You get to ask, you know, just pick the brains of parents who are living it right now, in each of your different age groups. And we really just love that opportunity.
I love that. I think this is a project that they will not forget. And it seems like it will like live on a long time. And I was just thinking about when I was in kindergarten. I lived in Weatherford, Texas. If you guys, anybody out there has been to Weatherford?
Yeah.
I lived in Weatherford, Texas. I was born out there in Parker County. And so right before Christmas, both of my parents got laid off their jobs. And so it's like, as a kindergartner, you know, I don't know what that means, but I do know that we weren't going to have a Christmas,
right?
You know, and we weren't going to have anything. And on Christmas morning, this stocking that was like 6 feet tall showed up on our front porch with toys and candy and food and this amazing, I mean, it was from our church had got together and given it to us. And, you know, as now I'm 45, that was 40 years ago. And I remember that. And I remember how it felt to somebody else to meet the need that I had. And, you know, it was funny. I was in Texas for Christmas and my mom got out the stocking. This was like just like a few weeks ago. My mom literally got out the stocking. And she said, I want to tell all the grandkids about this. And so it's like, giving is something that lives on. And I think that the kids will be impacted and the kids in Haiti will be impacted as well. And so, you know, you can never underestimate the power of meeting someone's need and also the power of giving. You know, it's just, it's phenomenal. So thank you so much for being here today. We have Heather Tabor, Danielle Ellis, and Katie Perez from Veritas. You heard all about the Feed the Need program, and we're so excited to see you guys accomplish this and raise the $60,000 and feed 10,000 meals, which might feed 60,000 people. We don't know. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us today, and we can't wait to be back with you next week with Doris. She'll be back next week, I'm sure, and feeling better, and we can't wait to be back with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Kayvon. Bye.